At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Hi, friends. This week we're talking about dismantling. It's the people pleaser's favorite tactic, and it's what makes them have like an evil rap. It's like people that are people pleasers. They do everything for you, and then when they don't get what they want, or they can't get you to love them, or you don't love them right, and they snap, and they dismantle the entire concept of you. Yeah. So I want to talk about everything I've learned about dismantling, because it was always my tactic, where when I would need to cut someone off or someone betray me or something like that, that was my way of detaching and not feeling nothing. It's not that I wouldn't feel things. It's like, yeah, you upset. But dismantling the entire identity and concept of somebody was my way of detaching for a long time. So when I say dismantle them, I mean any positive thing you thought you knew about them, wipe it out. Discredit it, invalidate it, make them absolutely worthless in your mind. Is how I would get my attention off of them. Like, okay, this thing that I thought that I wanted, this person that I thought that I loved, yeah, just wipe them out mentally. Discredit every single thing about them so that you see them totally different. And I realized that's a tactic from being betrayed, because a lot of my like early life, that was what I went through the most, was betrayals, and I would lose people to that. And with betrayal, you learn this tactic real good. And I kind of like went crazy with it. Because when people betray you, the way that you heal from a betrayal is you have to accept the fact that everything you thought you knew was a lie. And that's easy to accept because there's not much to grieve when you can say everything that I thought I knew was fake. When people were acting a certain way and secretly were doing certain shit and they were like putting on a mask, when the mask falls and they betray you in some kind of way, you see that the person I thought I knew never existed. There's nothing to mourn, really. It's like, okay, you face it, you're sad about it, but you have no connection to the person anymore. It's like, you can convince yourself the mask slipped, the person I knew was never there. So betrayal teaches you that. Betrayal teaches you how to fully dismantle somebody like a betrayal. I never knew you. Anything that I thought I loved about you isn't real. So you're not worthy of the love that I had for you. So this is when the people pleaser turns evil. And like a stupid example, just to like paint the picture for you. It's like if a dude goes up to a girl at a bar and they walk up to the girl thinking they have to be super complimentary. And they're like, oh, being sweet, being nice. What they want is to get laid. But they're approaching the girl as like this, like trying to be delicate and sweet and hide that true intention. And if the girl rejects them, they immediately insult them. Well, you weren't fucking cute anyway. Fuck you. Like, they get rude. I don't like that shit, but that's just the typical stance of, like, people pleaser. You think you have to approach someone a certain way. You don't think you can be accepted for who you are and what you want, so you try and mask that. And, like, when the guy goes up to the girl and she rejects him, the mask got rejected. So, rejection doesn't have anything to do with deficiency. People, like, I had this for a long time, like, in my head. Like, a rejection or not being loved by somebody or being wanted by somebody, I always needed a logical explanation to it of, okay, there's some kind of deficiency. If I was enough, then you would want me. So what is the deficiency? And when you have that mindset, you think every rejection is an acknowledgement of some kind of deficiency in you. So a lot of men, like these dickheads that like approach girls and then snap and are rude, they don't want to face that. They just lash out and try and like devalue you because they have a ping in themselves. You just reflected to them a sense of deficiency if they see rejection that way. We have a lot to get into with this episode. I'm very excited. I don't even know where to start. I guess let's start with people pleasing. Let's talk about that. So your ego wants to stay in control, and people pleasing is a way to do that. So when you meet somebody and you feel the need to people please, what you're trying to do is gain a sense of control through adaptation. So when you look at someone and you're like, okay, you assume all of these things, what they want, what they would like, and what they need. You become like fixated on trying to figure out and be what they want and need. When you want love from this person, like when you're interested, you think of all these things, all these ways you could be for them. Because what do you get if you can be what they need and be what they want? You can try and control the way they feel toward you. That's what it is. You're trying to manipulate and control the way that they feel so they feel good about you. What you're actually looking for is a reflection of your investment. That's what you want. So like if you identify these things about somebody that you like and you want them to feel positively toward you, you try to become what they need and what they want. Now, when you don't get that, you feel fucked over and you start to look at it like you deserve it. Like I deserve this person's attention or love. I deserve for them to feel good about me and to like me. And there's an injustice that happens. And dismantling people is a way of restoring injustice in your own mind. Because it's deep. It's like, okay, I erased myself for you. And you still don't feel good about me? I couldn't find a way to get you to feel good about me? You look crazy. Not you. We, bitch. I used to do this. I noticed myself when I would dismantle people, it would happen when I felt unlovable, where I couldn't get someone to feel good about me or they betrayed me. So what I felt was unlovable and unloved. So to walk away from a situation feeling like that, that ain't gonna cut it. Your ego is gonna stay alive. So the way that my ego would flip on them is dismantling them to a point where I point out every single thing about them that is unlovable. Because when you're people pleasing, you're secretly grading people and assessing people. And you're grading against your idea of what they want and what they need and how you can be that. You've graded yourself as I motherfucking am that. I've done everything. You'd be amazed to see what I'll turn into to get you to want me. That's the vibe. And it's like, okay, you've maxed out your scale. You've fully done it. So you have to find some kind of defect and flaw in them. With the whole concept of deserving, you don't have to earn love and you don't have to deserve love. But like I talked about in my last episode, for your attention to be on deserving their love, you have to see how you're qualified for it and not getting it. That is what gives you the sensation of deserving something. And to stay in a state of deserving means you have to stay disconnected from getting what it is you feel like you deserve. But when you can grade yourself and see, I'm exactly what they need and want, yet they're still not doing something right, your sacrifice of yourself starts to be humiliating. Like you're humiliated that you sacrificed yourself and became what they wanted because they still, for whatever reason, don't want it. But what you have to see is you didn't truly meet the person. From the moment you met them and decided you liked them and wanted to control the way they felt about you, you projected your own idea of what they need and what they want. And you've been playing a game with yourself. You don't actually know the person enough. And as time goes on, you might see what they truly want. It's like if a girl gets with a guy who is rich, let's say the guy at the core is a cheap fuck, not cheap, let's just say frugal. There's some people in this life that are frugal and they love to do it. Like there's really rich people who just get off on like being frugal. It's their thing. They don't want to be lavish and spend money on a bunch of stuff and like designer things and jewelry and clothes. Like they don't like to spoil people. They get satisfaction from how much money they can save and how frugal they can be. There's a lot of them like that. And let's say a girl meets a rich guy and he's actually frugal at heart. If she projects her idea of what it's like to be with a rich man, she's got this whole idea laying over the top of the truth of him and she can't see the truth of him. She's over here like, okay, if I can become all of these things that he needs and wants, I'm gonna get the experience of being with a rich guy. So in the beginning, it's okay, he's not spending money on me yet, but I can earn it. I can earn my idea of what it's like to be with a rich guy, which is getting spent on and living a luxurious lifestyle. So she's over here gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna bend myself and do all these things. I'm gonna get to know him and I'm gonna identify what it is he wants and needs so I can make sure he feels good about me. And the more and more that you don't see money getting spent on you, you're just gonna convince yourself, okay, once I get him to love me, he'll spend the money. That's what you're gonna look like a psycho. And that's how you're gonna be playing in your head. Then you're gonna get to a point where you've destroyed yourself and you're looking at it like, okay, earning your love would mean spending all the money on me that I want because you're rich. And that's her idea of being with a rich man. She would never feel loved ever because this man does not show money and like spending money as love. He's frugal. He likes to save money. He doesn't like to do that shit. But she's got her own projection over him and she ain't seeing it clearly. So she's going to be ready to beat her head up against the wall, destroying herself, trying to figure out how she can finally get him to love her enough where he spends money on her. She wants to control the way he feels about her to live out her fantasy that he's in the slot of a potential of what could be for her. Like that's a one way she could get it. She wants to know what it's like to be with a rich man. You got to watch who you're with, because if you actually look at the person before you get involved with them, before you start projecting all this shit, and before you start assuming what they need and what they want, because you might act and pretend like you're okay with him being frugal at the beginning, but you secretly are wondering and wanting him to love you enough where he spends on you. And you also see bending his own boundary and changing who he is at the core, where he would spend the money on you, you would get that as the biggest validation of, look how much he loves me. The more money he doesn't want to spend, but he does, you would feel as love. So, yeah, you're not crazy, but you're crazy. But after you get to this point where you've people-pleased your way into destroying yourself and like erasing yourself, trying to convince yourself you don't want them or don't care doesn't work. Because what you've done is erased yourself. You're a full embodiment of what they need and they want. So you're never going to be able to stop thinking about them because you've become everything for them. That's when you get that real evil tweak out and you flip it on them and you dismantle them and you transfer the wound. So you feeling unlovable, you can't face that. You still want to feel lovable. You see how you are lovable on this scale. You've maxed it out. You see that you're deserving of the love, but you still, for some reason, feel unloved. So dismantling them is discrediting them fully. Like, you are not worth what I have become on this scale for you. You don't appreciate it. That means XYZ about you. That's when you get into dismantling every single thing about them. And I'm not talking just, oh, superficial crap of like, you're balding, you're fat, you're ugly. None of that. None of that is dismantling. That's just being rude. Dismantling is going into the way someone thinks, the way someone looks at life, the way that they look at other people, and telling them why they are unlovable because of how they are. So when I say transfer the wound, it becomes you switching from feeling unlovable to walking away and just feeling unloved, and you having to feel unloved, transferring that feeling of being unloved onto them is you leaving. You take it a step further, and for you to feel good about the situation, you have to dismantle them entirely of you are actually unlovable, and these are all the reasons why. That's when you feel okay to walk off, because the humiliation you were avoiding for erasing yourself, no, you can't face that. You just anesthetize the pain. You put a little lidocaine in there, and you keep walking forward. Ah, you were just nothing. You weren't worth shit, is how you get on your little high horse, and you trot away. Basically, the only way you can walk away and truly detach and like mentally, when you've left and you're with yourself to stop thinking about them, is to write them off as inadequate and you as valuable. That's the way to like to disconnect. And it works to help you detach from people, but this is going to bite you in the ass very quickly. I do have a little example for this too. So like, let's say this guy is like very promiscuous and he likes to sleep around a lot. He likes to be with a bunch of girls. And like, it's basically you don't turn a hoe to a housewife, but like the opposite. Like you don't turn a hoe ass man into a husband. Let's say there's this girl and she wants the guy that's a hoe. It takes two to toxic. The guy only feels like he can get women if he tells them all the shit that they like to hear of you're different. I love you. I'll change for you. And the girl's going to feed off of I'm the one that he changed for. He's showing me how much he loves me because he's not out being a hoe anymore. The girl would get that ego boost of like, yeah. But at the core of it, the guy lied to you. He's playing you. He's not the type that's like, oh, I've found the one I want, because he doesn't want one. He wants multiple. And men who can't admit that just run around traumatizing the fuck out of women. For this example, let's say the man absolutely feels like he has to people please to get women. You have to tell them all the things that they want, and you have to stop sleeping around for a while. And let's say the girl feels like she has to people please. Like, okay, he's used to all these types of bitches. I need to get in shape. I need to spend money on him. I need to cook for him. I need to be the perfect wife because I don't want him to leave. I got the one all the girls wanted. That's that weird like dynamic where the girl will lose herself trying to be what she thinks he wants and needs. But what he wants and needs is multiple partners. So she can never be that. But he doesn't feel like he can be honest about it. And the girl's over here now listening to the bullshit and is getting like gratification off of becoming what she projects that he wants out of a partner. Now let's get to the point in the analogy where the guy cheats. Because inevitably, guys like this always do. They're going to cheat. The girl that's been doing nothing but being the perfect partner for him is going to be absolutely devastated because all the effort that she's put in, she feels like is wasted. And he's over here having to people please his way back into making sure things are okay. I think if you give someone your word, you're not going to cheat on them and you want to be monogamous, that should stay that way. But for the sake of the example, let's say that the girl wants to leave the guy. She's going to have to dismantle him to be able to walk away and still feel valuable. To say and slap the label all across it of it was all fake. What you get to do is bypass the grief, a lot of grief around the relationship that you had and what you thought it could be. There's grieving the future potential of it and understanding that all of it was a lie. So there's less of a loss felt. It's easier to swallow everything I thought was a lie and everything was fake versus what I had was real and I lost it. But the thing that's really going to hurt for the girl is she invested so much, accepted all his flaws, accepted all this crap, changed her entire identity, became all these things that she thought that he would want. And she's so much more invested in the situation. So what I see it as is people pleasing is your way of controlling attachment on the way in. Dismantling is your way of controlling attachment on the way out. But like I said before, rejection is not a validation of your deficiency. It doesn't mean you're defective. It doesn't mean you weren't good enough. If someone doesn't treat you right, it's not about you. It's like rejection is not about any kind of deficiency in you. Because had the guy from the beginning just said, honestly, I like having multiple partners, he could have went and found a woman who was okay with that, whether they swing together or it's an open relationship. And a girl that is into that could have met him and it would have went fine. But what did he do? Fucking lied and people pleased to try and get what he thought he had to do to get a girlfriend. Because like men love to have the stable housewife at home that they get to run around and do what they want. You don't get both. You need to lead with the truth because now the girl that got cheated on, you gotta fucking leave. But the thing with her is the amount of investment that she's got tied into it, it's gonna hurt even worse to leave. And she's gonna leave questioning herself and wondering why this happened, why she wasn't good enough. But for any girls who relate to what I'm saying, where you're leaving a relationship and you're seeing, okay, I didn't get loved how I wanted to be, it doesn't have anything to do with you. It's easy to dismantle somebody and destroy them and make them worthless and look at the whole situation like it's fake. I mean, you didn't really know the truth of what he wanted and needed. You were playing into what you assumed he wanted and needed, got all invested. I get it. I really want to nail in the point about the rejection thing. Don't mean there's some kind of deficiency. It's like me liking gold over silver. That's something that's never going to fucking change. And no matter how much someone tries to be what I've ever wanted, you will never change that about me. You will never be able to change my preference for gold over silver. And it's got nothing to do with me not liking silver. You're learning about the way I feel and what I like when I say that. When I say I prefer gold over silver, you're just learning about me. If you like silver, that's fine. You're allowed to like it. Me liking gold doesn't mean anything about you that you like silver. We have a difference in preference. Situation with the dude. You want to be promiscuous. You have a need for that. You like that. You want that. The girl from the analogy wants an actual monogamous relationship. Neither of you are wrong for what you want. And what you want does not make you more or less valuable. That's kind of a bad example because, like, after you cheat, it's like, eh, fuck you. But you get what I'm saying. Your true preferences and who you truly are is not unlovable. When you're acting in a way where you got to hide it and you're trying to pretend to be something that you're not, yeah, you're not lovable in that scenario. You're not lovable when you're being something other than what you are, which is the truth of what you truly want and need. Another way to look at it is like, okay, you don't want to participate in the type of relationship that I want. Therefore, I'm not going to participate in it either. It's like me with straight men. There can be a guy who I like. There's nothing wrong with him and his preference. He likes girls. I like guys. Trying to make that fit is useless because if a straight dude is never going to enter that relationship, what the fuck do I look like entering into it and trying to make it be a relationship? I'm not what you want, but that doesn't mean anything about me that I'm wrong or bad. When you start feeling like that is when you get too invested into something that's not compatible. Same thing with the guy and the girl from the last example. He wants a bunch of partners. She wants a monogamous relationship. You can walk away both wanting what you want. Hopefully you don't fuck anybody else up, dude. This isn't like a made up situation, but like I get irritated because it's so accurate. This is the truth of a lot of dudes that are too scared to own it. A lot more girls might be down than you think if you would just be honest. You don't have to people please of what you think a girl would want because she will become what you need and she'll blow you away. The thing to learn is detachment without devaluing people. It's like me with straight dudes. Because I can't get a guy to like me that I want that's straight, why would I need to devalue him to walk away? Like I said before, you're not going to participate in the kind of relationship I want. Therefore, I'm not going to participate in it either. The idea is gone. It's out of your head. Kill it. Grieve the potential of the projection that you had of what it could have been, because that's all there is to grieve. If it's like a situation where you're not actually with somebody, that's all there is to grieve. You've made most of it up in your fucking head. You've been 10 steps ahead, fairy tale land of projections. This is what it would be like if this person was actually gay, but they're straight. But if they were gay, this is what it would be like. Not getting involved in that relationship that they are not going to enter is getting out of that projection. Look at the truth. Okay, it's not going to happen. Grieve it and move forward. There's no need to devalue them. Like, to take away the beauty that you see in somebody and take away like the positive things that you see in people, that's been my only way of detaching for a long time. Like you have to completely obliterate them, like dismantle the entire fuck out of them so that you can stop having feelings for them. You can just accept what it is and move forward without devaluing them because this is something that's going to bite you on the hiney, big fat chunk right out of your ass cheek. When you are someone who dismantles people, what that is constantly being in a grading scale, like how I said before. When you have to see that someone is deserving of love, you're constantly grading them. And when you're someone who grades other people to determine how much they deserve your love, you expect that same reaction out of others. So love is never going to feel safe for you. Love is going to feel like getting into a period of interrogation. And in a period of assessment, like you're just going to be, once you get love and you feel loved by somebody, it's like you don't want it. You're uncomfortable in it because you feel like you owe them access to the version of you that made them love you. You feel like you have to constantly show them that. And if it's not truly you, you're going to get exhausted and that relationship will not be able to maintain itself. You won't be able to maintain yourself constantly performing. So when you have this dynamic to keep yourself safe, it's a learned strategy. I get it. I've had to be easy on myself with like breaking it, but dismantling people keeps you in your own hell because you don't let yourself get close to people. You don't let people get to know things about you and truly see you. You will be trapped in feeling misunderstood forever because to let someone see the truth of you, that is not an option because you're expecting your reaction. As soon as you disappoint them or you don't love them in the way that they want, you expect a dismantling because that's what you do. So when I say it bites you in the ass, that's how. You're never able to feel safe with anyone because you're unsafe to care about because you dismantle people. Lunatic. Love you anyway. Do I think you should go into things with a little bit reserved about yourself? Do I think you should just meet somebody and open up from the get-go and just like spill a secret? No. Spend time getting to know them And when I say getting to know them, don't immediately meet someone, decide you like them, and then try to assume everything that they want and need and become that. You lose yourself immediately. Like as soon as you meet someone, as soon as you feel that flutter of like, I like you, or you set your sights on them of like, I want them to feel a certain way about me, you lose yourself in that moment because you're trying to control how they feel about you. And you do that by dancing. You do that by morphing yourself into them. So stay in who you are and meet people for who they are. Like the girl that wanted the rich guy. Projecting all this shit, like had she just seen from the get-go, something about his character is that he's frugal. She wouldn't have chosen to get into a relationship with him if what she wanted was a rich man who was going to spend on her. Or if she did get into a relationship with the frugal guy, she would have liked that about him and been in an equal playing field, not in a projection of what he could be and how he could love her. She'd be in a more realistic approach of the type of love that's being offered. But the other part of this is someone can see you truly for who you are, and they can still choose not to pursue you, or they could still choose not to care about you. And you need to allow them to have the freedom of doing so, because you want that freedom. You want to be able to decide if you truly like someone or if you don't. You can see them and still recognize incompatibility. And when you walk away from that, when you're not in this game of people pleasing and then having to dismantle their ass, you had a genuine chance at connection. That's the only way to get real connection. So when you give them that genuine freedom of you can see me and still not want me, but I do not see that as a deficiency in me. I don't see it as an attack. You're allowed to not want me just like I'm allowed to not want you. And it does suck and it does feel more vulnerable because there's nothing to hide behind. And you do have to grieve that situation. But if you don't play too far into it with your projections of, oh, my life's going to be like this with this person. Get out of that shit. And can you rush too fast into things? See the person in front of you, not what you hope they could be or what you wish they could be. But with that freedom of allowing them not to choose you and not to want you, that doesn't mean they discovered something about you that made you unlovable. It could just be an incompatibility thing. There's no deficiency. Rejection does not signal to you, hey, you're deficient in this certain way. You got to do more, be more. You got to act like this. It's not a way to find out what's wrong with you. Rejection is fine. A lot of these assholes say rejection, redirection. Kind of, pretty much, yeah. Like they're kind of right. I give credit where it's due. A lot of these spiritual people and like the little self-help people be full of it, but they're kind of onto it with that. Just don't allow it to wreck you. And don't, that's it. There's no deficiency in you because you're rejected. There's someone out there who will like you for you. Like with the guy and the guy that wants a bunch of partners and the girl who wants to be a housewife. If they're both just honest in what they want, the guy who wants a bunch of partners could still be loved by a woman who's okay with that. Maybe a girl wants a bunch of partners too. Maybe they're both okay with it and they have an open relationship. Just because someone wants something different than you doesn't mean they're unlovable. And it doesn't mean you're unlovable. And you have to grant them that. Stop dismantling people because they want something different than you do. They're still lovable to their own group of people and people who want the same shit. But granting that freedom to them grants you that same freedom in return, where you're not unlovable. You're not looking for that because it doesn't exist. I think that's all I have to say on the topic. Your ability to be loved is always there. It's not something that has to be earned. And you can never lose it. You can never lose your ability to be loved. So stop fucking stressing about it. One more little tidbit since we're talking about dismantling. This just popped in my head. About cancellations online, that's the perfect kind of way to see it outside of yourself, is when people get canceled online, what you see is people actively trying to dismantle someone. And like I said with dismantling, you want to show how they're absolutely unlovable. When people who get canceled still have supporters, because a lot of people get canceled for a lot of shit that's not accurate. A lot of people do get canceled for shit that is accurate and they should be canceled. But people that get canceled are always going to have some amount of supporters and people that love them and care about them as a person. When you're trying to dismantle somebody and you see that they're still able to be loved, that's when people don't let shit go. Like they get nuts when they can't sufficiently, like successfully cancel somebody. That's what happens with me. People have tried to come up with all these stories and all this shit in the past so many times of how I'm so this and I'm so that. And when people still see me getting love, it reactivates their hatred, because I think people see things in me that they fear if they ever were seen displaying certain traits that I have or saying certain things that I say. They think people would fucking destroy them. They think that they would be obliterated and never be able to be loved again. But that's in their own mind. They're scared to show certain things. And when you see someone showing them and still be loved, it's like a mind fuck. But it's like a fear that they're fighting, because if they got caught displaying certain opinions or certain ways of being, it's like guys who are closeted gay and they see me be out. They like are in fear mode and would never feel okay and feel like they could be loved if they came out. So a lot of them talk a lot of shit, but it's like a fear thing of like trying to protect themselves from ever being like seen or exposed. And when I say it's a fear, it is a fear like death, because they might be accepted. They would actually be accepted. People that come out are accepted all the time. There's a lot of people waiting for you if you're in the closet. People around you, I can't guarantee that everybody around you that currently cares about you will care about the truth of you, but there will be people who love you even if you are gay or you are bisexual, whatever the hell it is. But that fear is their self-concept. Their self-concept will have to die, and it will die if they are seen for the truth of what they are. Like when you come out, it's a whole ego death, whole death of your whole identity. But that's what a lot of people like hold on to and try to fight. And I want to talk about me for a second. It's about me, my podcast. I think with me, like with cancellations and shit, I don't even want to call them cancellations, because people just get fussy. Like they don't get fussy over nothing important. They just get fussy about me. But with me and people trying to cancel me in the past, it's been a lot of misconceptions and a lot of bullshit. But certain people are allowed to not like me. That's fine. But I also understand like my personality type and who I am as a person. I'm very in touch with myself and every part of myself. And I have a lot of contradictory parts of myself that I hold dearly, and I show both sides. Like a lot of people don't understand how I can be so loving and rip your head off your body and not blink twice. It's like I have such a duality. Like as gentle as I am and sweet as I am, I'm an evil motherfucker just like that. And I don't have any qualms about showing both sides. So it's a weird thing. Like there's so many things about me that are contradictory, where you don't think I'd be one thing or the other. It's like the political shit. I don't have a stance because I agree with both sides on certain things. And I have educated myself on politics. Gross. Yuck. It's a puppet show. Can't stand it. But yeah, I am a very complex person, and everybody's complex, but they've just suppressed certain things and aren't comfortable with certain things in themselves yet. But everybody possesses that duality. It's like anything you have in you, like if you have extreme anger, you have extreme calm. If you have only extreme calm and you don't feel angry at all, and you don't recognize anger in yourself, it's suppressed. You have both. Everything that's inside of you exists in contrast. It's a law of the universe. It's not just something I'm making the fuck up. But yeah, it's very weird to observe someone be so many different things, because I am all over the board, wild card. You can never pin me down. Like, you know my morals and my values if you've listened to my podcast enough. Like, you know how I am and who I am. But it's not common for me to hold so many different parts of myself at once and be cool with it, because one doesn't negate the other. Like, to be very soft and gentle and caring and loving doesn't negate your strength. It takes a lot of strength to hold both. Okay, now I feel like I'm done. If you made it this far in the episode, comment a tornado emoji. They got that, right? Like a tornado emoji? Because people pleasers just be ripping through shit when they get upset. I feel like that's fun. I like to see who made it this far. That's why I say comment an emoji. But if you're new here, like I'm explaining it to you. But everybody who be here every week comments an emoji. Hey, love you. The description is going to have all the links to all the things that you want to look at and find me on social media, all that. I think I'm going to come back to social media soon. I can feel it. Like, I'm feeling really good. And I'm like, yeah, let's have fun. Like, I want to come back to social media and have fun, because it's just turned into a shit show. Like, what are you always fighting about? You know what I mean? Like, what happened to social media being entertaining? Like, enough of the triggering crap nonstop. Like, everybody's so personally invested in everything. Just have some fucking fun, you know? Tank tops will be coming soon. I'll keep you posted on those. I'm very excited. But that's it. That's all I got for this week. Everybody be safe. Take care of yourself. And I'll talk to you guys next Sunday. I just smiled crazy at all. Bye.
At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste, like juicy heirloom tomatoes, cheesy house-made pizza, and fresh artisan-made bread. From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.